Well, I've had pasta maybe once this year.
I've had pasta three times this week. But to be fair, it was the same batch of noodles. I've just eaten it three times.
Are you the person who's responsible for dumping all the noodles in New Jersey? What is that?
Wait, what?
Yeah. Oh,
that's great.
What has happened?
They just in the woods or something?
Yeah, there's like tons and tons of cooked pasta was found in the woods in New Jersey.
Just a big pile.
In the middle of the woods. How much are we talking? Like a pot worth?
No,
a small like
dump truck's worth.
Just cooked pasta?
Yeah.
It's a mob hit.
Oh, it's a sign to somebody.
It's Jersey. They had to go back across the river.
Maybe it's an urban legend. Maybe it's like a chupacabra type thing.
There's pictures. It's real.
No, but maybe it's there to bait some sort of urban legend monster, like a chupacabra that eats noodles.
So you think there's a monster that lives in the woods?
Like
already?
Italian Sasquatch? Yeah.
I think what they're trying to do is create mythos. And so it'll be like Nessie, but it'll be this Italian Sasquatch, and it'll generate tourism dollars.
Where's the meat sauce? Huh? Am I a peasant over here? I'm walking.
With these big old feet.
Literally, the only thing people know about me is that I'm walking over here.
I'm walking here. That's why that famous film of Bigfoot, it's silent. If there had been audio. What's it to you? You keeps going.
There's no sauce on the pasta in the woods?
I know you're concerned. The sugar content on this pasta is very low.
Very low.
Yeah.
Very low.
Yeah, yes. It's just piles and piles of sauceless pasta.
In the woods.
Yeah.
In Jersey.
I just had a memory. I have put ketchup on pasta in college when I had no other means of eating. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cook the pasta.
It's not good.
Squirt the ketchup.
It's not good.
It's not good, but it does the job. It
makes the pasta wet.
It makes it red.
It keeps you from eating wet paper.
I always got.
Have you tried ketchup on it?
Say, I got the Italian seasoning blend and olive oil. That was my go-to in college. Yeah,
that's good. I just ate a lot of pot pies, like frozen pot pies.
Nice.
Yeah.
And now the kids,
a lot of frozen pot
like,
pies.
Like when we go to see staff, it's like, hey, we're gonna eat in the cafeteria. He's like, no, it's great.
Yeah.
They have like all these different stations of different, like Asian and Southern and vegetarian, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
They had
probably
this
pasta.
Massive paella pasta when we were there one time.
Yes. Yeah.
Probably never pasta, was good. Right?
That's what it is. The kids aren't eating the pasta, so they just have to dump it out the woods.
They've been doing that for years. Somebody just finally stumbled upon.
Just a dump like being driven by a lunch lady.
It's like the elephant graveyard, right?
It's a Bernie Madoff situation.
Yeah. Rutgers finally was like, we're done with this.
Just dump it in the woods.
Yeah. We can't have them cutting our pasta budget, so we just got to hide the pasta that the kids don't
eat. Keep cooking the noodles.
They're still Italian.
Keep cooking the noodles. Yeah.
When's someone gonna like come to us like some cigar chomping CEO and just be like, I want to sponsor your podcast?
I have a prediction.
I've been cooking noodles in the woods, see. I need a spokesman.
Mama Maglione's pasta. It's so good you won't dump it in the woods. That's our motto.
What if it was an Italian family reunion gone wrong? Like it didn't stick to the wall properly.
Was it straight up spaghetti noodles or was it like linguine?
It was a mix of noodles.
I'll say I didn't read that.
Really? It was a mix of noodles?
Yeah.
Nobody does that.
Oh, it's called pasta salad. Get on board.
I'm not on board.
Wait, is pasta salad just different types of pasta in a bowl together?
Yeah, no,
nothing else.
It's rotini.
It's like spring mix.
Isn't pasta salad rotinis?
Get some ketchup on that.
Yeah.
Pasta salad can be whatever pasta you want it to be, except for long noodles.
Okay.
Stay away from those.
Okay, pasta salad as we all picture it would be really weird with like regular spaghetti noodles, right?
Yes.
We're all in agreement.
Well, it depends on what you put in there with it.
Unless it's pasta primavera.
Wait, which one's that?
That's like what's hot that pasta shape? Salad.
It's a hot pasta salad.
It's not great.
Hot pasta and mayonnaise. That's, yeah.
It's okay if Jess doesn't send us one today because there's a writer strike on. And we don't want her to be a scab.
Well, that might be exactly what she sent us.
Yeah.
She's also not being paid, so how does that work for the guild?
Oh, shit. We're the reason for the writer's strike.
We caused it.
Yeah, they're not
We're not paying her scale.
Oh, man. This is Small Town News. I'm Keith.
I'm Neil.
I'm George.
And I'm Craig.
And what we do each session is read small town newspaper articles from small town newspapers somewhere across the United States. We are reading these articles for the first time. They're provided to us by the wonderfully talented, but the woefully underpaid, but hopefully not a part of a guild, Jessica Saxon.
Cross that picket line, Jess!
From those articles, we might take a character, a situation, maybe just a bunch of writers who deserve to be paid their worth, and we might improvise stories around it. We're just trying to make big stories out of small town news. Where are we today, Neil?
We are in Hinsdale, Illinois, and the newspaper is The Doings.
And I'm just going to call it, based on the picture, this is the home of the Friskies cat.
That is definitely a giant Morris? Cat.
Is that his name? I don't know.
Is that cat standing
You said it with confidence.
But it's Nine Lives Tuna.
Yes. Oh, it is?
So I would say it's probably not the home of the Friskies cat.
Is it standing in front of a building?
Oh, that is Nine Lives.
No, it's standing on an old-timey cash register.
Oh, I thought it was like a giant cat.
Ring me up for 506 cans of Nine Lives tuna, please.
I do have to say, he does not look happy.
Most cats
looks like a boss.
Never have a happy face.
He looks like a boss.
He's
like,
boss cat?
I'm the boss.
I own...
Wait, empire. So is Nine Lives tuna, is that tuna fish or is that cat food? And I know it's both.
No, it's... No, this is cat food. It's just...
Wait.
But it just says Nine Lives tuna, right?
I just want to know if you're asking for a friend.
Look, let's get something straight. I do not like tuna fish from a can. I've never been a fan. Never.
Or cat food.
I'm not a huge fan of tuna fish from a can.
I didn't say that.
But if you want to have tuna fish, are you going to go to the store and buy fresh tuna and make a tuna salad out of that?
If I'm buying tuna, I'm making like tuna fillets. I'm not...
I'll say if it's an ingredient, most of the time I'm good with tuna from the can. If it is an unadulterated main course, it is not as yummy.
I once went camping in St. John, and most of what I ate was tuna salad packages, like kits, like where you have a can of
plastic?
Tuna, like
you have
like a cracker, and you have a little package of fancy mayonnaise and a package of relish.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And it comes in this little bucket. And you squirt all this stuff in there, stir it with a piece of wood.
Wooden spoon, and then you eat it with the wooden spoon.
Sometimes you've already eaten the cracker, you just eat the with the dowel.
Because it takes too long to make, and you're hungry.
You're hungry, and you're on an island.
Crackers are an appetizer.
You're on an island. And that's what we ran out of that first. And at the end of the trip, there was a lot of jerky still remaining that we may have left for the next group.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's my – I never ate much tuna salad.
Welcome to Hinsdale, Illinois, population 17,300. The town is a western suburb of Chicago, located in both Cook and DuPage counties near the shores of Lake Michigan. Commuters from Hinsdale can be in downtown Chicago in less than an hour by car. This week's newspaper, The Doings, has the most laid-back title I've ever seen in a legitimate professional newspaper.
That is a cool name.
The paper was founded in 1973. It's happening, man.
The Doings.
Its online masthead reads, "Countless opportunities to get closer to your neighbors."
Visitors to Hinsdale can tour the Orland P. Bassett House. The Bassett House is also known as the American Beauty House. The home was not a location for the film American Beauty, but it is indirectly tied to the movie. Orland moved to Hinsdale in 1887 and took up rose growing as a hobby after the move. By the following year, he had cultivated the American Beauty hybrid rose in his greenhouse. The American Beauty rose was first bred in France in 1875 and called the Madame Ferdinand Jamin rose. It was brought to America the same year. But when Orland started growing the rose, he renamed it the American Beauty. And because he renamed the flower, he is often erroneously called the rose's inventor. While he did not invent this hybrid rose, Orland is responsible for its popularity. He sold the American Beauty roses to florists, and demand quickly grew for the flower. From 1888 until the 1920s, the rose was the best-selling rose in America. It also became known as the million-dollar rose for its high price tag. When first introduced in 1888, one rose cost $2, or nearly $67 per rose in today's money.
I was about to say, yeah, that's a lot of change at that time. Yeah.
Or $804 per dozen. The flower is rarely cultivated in other countries, but its American popularity has led to its appearance in a wide variety of pop culture creations. The rose inspired the American Beauty Rag, a song from about 1910. Frank Sinatra sang about the rose in the 1950s, and the rose was the symbol of the Lord and Taylor, an upscale department store during the mid-20th century. It appeared on the cover of the 1970 Grateful Dead American Beauty album, and its petals featured prominently in the 1999 film of the same name. This rose, and not the cherry blossom, is also the official flower of Washington, D.C.
We're all a bunch of dudes here. right?
Nice observation.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we don't know nothing about no flowers.
I just, this is going back to the price of that American Beauty rose. So, how much would you spend, or do you think is reasonable to spend, on a dozen flowers, a bouquet of flowers, whatever it may be?
Is it Mother's Day?
What is the day? What is the holiday or event you are most likely to buy flowers?
No, I'm
for?
Just saying they're going to jack the prices.
Valentine's
up.
Day is the day of I'm not all asking, year that you were going to spend the most on a dozen flowers.
It'll be like
bouquet
60
of flowers.
I'm asking specifically what is the price that you feel whenever it is reasonable to spend on a bouquet or a dozen flowers.
I've never said no to a bouquet of dozen roses if I needed one for that particular moment. I never even look at the price. It's like if you need the flowers, you buy the flowers.
I have never purchased a dozen roses for anyone.
How about flowers?
Very rarely. Not, okay. Claire doesn't like cut flowers.
How about potatoes?
A bouquet of potatoes?
Like a dozen potatoes, please.
You know,
in a vase.
I thought, look, you're on to something. I'm not
just
lying.
A bag of potatoes.
Claire is much happier with something that will continue to live.
Okay.
We normally get like
potatoes.
We normally get the $20, $25 bouquet of flowers for Sophie or something like that. If okay. She's in a show. Well, yeah, I don't roses are weird. I don't like roses.
You think they'd say
just
too
a
much?
Lot of stigma that goes around with roses and Valentine's Day. So it's just, I don't know. It seems,
it suggests
me,
I love you. It suggests a regardless
of
level.
Color.
Yeah. Yes. What about a yellow rose?
Regardless of color, I think it suggests a romantic interest.
I agree. Yeah. Okay. I agree.
Yep.
And I think there's just something more personal. Every now, I can't remember the last time this happened, but every now and again, like I'll be in the grocery store shopping and I'll pass the little floral section. And there'll be like this tiny little flower thing. I'd be like, that's really pretty. Meredith would think that's pretty. And if it strikes me like that and it's not too much money, maybe like $6, I'll put that in the cart.
I bought an orchid for my mom today for Mother's Day. How much do you think that cost? It's a live plant.
$45.
Okay.
An orchid?
Yeah.
I'll go 55.
Okay.
54, Bob.
I'll be right back. I'm going to go get my mom's orchid and sell it to one of you suckers because it costs like $18.95, like $19.
My presumption was they were jacked up for Mother's Day.
Yeah, it's a good yeah. guess. But that's a live
Why doesn't the governor get involved in that?
Instead of a
We regulate.
Abortion?
No.
Sorry. Oh, driver's license.
Welcome
to Rage Point with Neil Oliver.
Like, we regulate the cost of fuels with natural disasters. Why don't we do that with Mother's Day and Valentine's Day?
And just say you can't price gouge.
Like if you're not going to charge $120 for a bouquet of roses
I think it's
every
because
day.
If people didn't buy roses, society wouldn't grind to a halt. But if
I disagree.
But if you can't access fuel, that it might slow things down
Still
a little
price
bit.
Gouging, though.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah.
Or it's an opportunity to buy roses a week before Mother's Day and then sell them.
Oh, man.
You know.
There's a big difference in a rose 1 week later. Flowers never – I don't care if you open that little packet of seasoning that comes with the flowers and put it in the water. It does little a week
put
later.
Put it on your pasta.
Yes. Yeah, glad it's seasoning.
What, I don't know what the hell it is. It looks
aspirin,
like salt.
Right? I think it's aspirin.
You're right.
Aspirin?
Yeah. Aspirin. The flower's in pain because it's been cut. It's like, I'm dying.
amputee.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
But that's the hand part laying on the floor.
Hmm? Yeah.
Like the cut-off flower is the dead part. It's the removed part.
It's like if you cut off your finger, it's the finger.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be your fingertip laying on the ground screaming instead of you screaming about your fingertip.
Yeah, but your fingertip probably wants to be in a
you think
base with
scream?
Other fingertips. What's that?
What do plants feel when you pluck a flower off of them?
There are studies that show that they react to things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, they haven't studied it too much because then vegetarians will have nothing left
right,
to eat.
Right.
Yeah. Those poor bastards.
Aerotarians. They don't get very old.
I did look up a picture of the American Beauty, and it looks like a rose.
So
it's just kind of.
It feels to me like this is one of those things that was hidden in front of me the whole time. I never knew. Did they say in the movie American Beauty that the roses were called American Beauties?
No, they did not.
I don't recall them ever saying that.
I haven't seen that since whenever it was out.
But I mean, so I liked the movie and I thought it was shot really well.
Yeah, it was
but
good.
Now knowing that those roses that his wife is cutting, and so like her obsession with the roses is even more relevant and interesting now, knowing that that's what.
Also, wasn't
called.
That in the character's daydream of the rose petals falling on the young lady?
Like
wasn't
I said, I haven't seen
it. Roses clearly played a big part in the visual of that movie. But now knowing that that is the name of a rose, like for me, it was never the name of a rose. It was making a comment on the things that Americans and in our society put value on.
Yes. So. There's something very symbolic about that as a title for sure.
So I like that. That's nice.
It's of course. Enough.
But I'm not paying $150 for roses. And 806? Is that what it was?
Today's dollars.
Yeah. Inflated.
In today's dollars, 806.
Yeah.
I think probably $80 is the most I've ever paid for.
You've got to be in a lot of trouble to pay that much money for flowers.
You need the flowers, you buy the flowers.
Yeah. It was Valentine's Day. Some people, a dozen roses is very important to them on Valentine's Day. Yes. And some people,
it
is
guess?
Not. You can guess. So, but no, going back to the flowers. So, I mean, the same thing with Jess is – if I see some flowers in the store, it's not something I do all the time, but like the wildflowers, those are more interesting, more appreciated.
It's always something.
And it makes the house look nice. It's just a nice, pretty little thing to add. But when it's like the obligatory Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, she's not into it.
Nope.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. My uncle used to collect what he called ditch bank flowers, and he would take them to his wife and she loved them.
Like wildflowers because he would pick?
Yeah, because not only in the ditch.
Yeah,
I mean that's, but it was also something that he would do. Yep. Like he got out of the car and saw things and put this together for her.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, R. Harold Zook moved to Hinsdale in 1924, just 3 years after Orland's death. Y'all remember who Orland was?
Heck yeah,
He's American.
The non-inventor of the American Beauty.
Exactly. Harold was an architect, and he built his home and studio in Hinsdale. In 1928, he designed his most famous building, the Pickwick Movie Palace in Park Ridge, another Chicago suburb. Named by the Park Ridge mayor after the main character in Charles Dickens' The Pickwick Papers, this Art Deco building has an enormous marquee and a 100-foot tower. The Pickwick is featured in the opening credits of At the Movies, the Chicago-based TV show hosted by Gene Siskel and Robert Ebert from 1982 to 1986. That was only on 4 years.
I think
that version of
it. Yeah, I think the show changed. They probably got bought up and swallowed.
So they got
a
picked
company.
Up. I was gonna say, I think they got picked up by one of the networks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then for legal reasons,
Harold designed the Pickwick's auditorium, which could hold 1,400 spectators to look like, quote, an Aztec or Mayan temple. Renovated and expanded several times since its construction, the theater is still operational. Currently, the largest of its movie auditoriums can seat 900 people.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to watch a movie with 900 people.
It depends on the movie and depends on the people.
What are you worried about? Annoying people. Because people are annoying by nature.
I would say the odds do increase every time you add another body.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's always I love, and I know it's not good for business for movies. I love going to the movies and there's barely anyone in the theater.
Of course.
I mean, love it.
Just like if you're on a plane and you and four other people, which rarely happens, but
like the last movie I remember seeing in theaters was the Everywhere Everything All at Once movie there, and there was only like five of us grand total in the movie, and like and you were laughing, we're having a good time in the movie. Over, I don't know these other people. He looks like that was a pretty good movie, It's like you wouldn't just do that if you were like in a theater packed with a bunch of people and looked someone behind you and go, "What'd you think?"
No, but I'm gonna start.
You should.
Just sit next to somebody when there's plenty of room.
No, you walk up to the very front and then just say, okay, and so now for the discussion part of today's movie.
We're going to bring out the director of the movie.
We're going to go seat by seat, row by row. Give me a unique thought. Go. Give me your name and something personal. Go.
What is your greatest fear and your mother's maiden name?
But there's always, but the more people are around, the more you are annoyed, and the less people are inhibited. People are less afraid to be obnoxious when you're in a sea of in a crowd of people.
Kind of depends on the movie, though. Like if you're watching a like a blockbuster kind of thing, it's kind of fun to be in a movie theater with loud people. You know, yelling when things are fun, or just me.
It was really awkward during the movie American Beauty. Yeah, go have sex with an underage girl. Woo! Do it. Love that Kevin Spacey.
He'll never get canceled.
This will age well.
And then the guy beside you says, this is about a type of rose called an American Beauty.
I don't think there's any symbolism at all. Face value.
In addition to Orland and Harold, Hinsdale can boast dozens of other famous residents, including Chris Klein of American Pie fame, Meredith Monroe, best known for her work on Dawson's Creek, and soap opera stars Heather and David Tom. But its most famous native son is so well known that he only needs one name, Morris.
Why are we stupid?
Remember a half hour ago?
Why are we stupid?
The moose?
No,
the cat.
Oh, I'm so stupid.
Morris the Moose.
That was a couple of kids' books we had when the kids were little. I bought it at a yard sale. It was Morris the Moose.
Sorry, Jess. We don't have an attention span long enough to reach back to 5 minutes ago.
Oh, God.
The original Morris the Cat was adopted from the Hinsdale Humane Society in 1968 by Bob Martwick, a professional animal trainer and handler. Between 1969 and 1978, Morris was featured in 58.
I'm just professional animal handler is
yeah,
a weird
handler
name.
Part, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not just me, right?
No.
I'm not just a child over here by myself. Okay.
You sit here wondering where he's tickling the cat.
Well, I mean, otherwise you're just the animal carrier.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I'll say it seems like that. It seems like that's a bad thing that you're doing.
Yes.
Not a good thing.
He's a trainer and handler.
Well, the people
you just say trainer.
People also have handlers too, which is always a phrase that seemed weird to me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, that seems more like someone is no longer in control of their own fate,
or someone's just so disorganized that you have to get them from point A to point B.
Such a mess.
Yeah.
Since the original Morris's death in 1978, two other cats have played the role for nine lives.
Like the company or that duration?
While the other cats have also been shelter cats, these cats' hometowns have been kept secret because the original Morris was so famous and because it was widely known he had been rescued from Hinsdale. Hundreds of people wrote to his owner, Bob, claiming that Morris was their long-lost pet.
Oh.
People scamming. According to the Hinsdale Humane Society's website, which has a page dedicated to Morris because of course they do, he was reportedly the prototype for Garfield the cat.
Who made that? Who said that?
I don't know that I believe that.
Is he orange? Does he like?
Maybe Garfield is the Sasquatch of New Jersey's woods.
Is that very lasagna? Oh, they dump it out on Mondays.
What? No pasta?
Italian Garfield.
Where's the lasagna?
Yeah.
What?
That what gonna was make that? On Mondays.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a cat.
Why does he hate Mondays?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not like he was liking it. Yeah.
Morris also published three books: The Morris Approach, The Morris Method, and The Morris Prescription. He had roles in two major films in the early 1970s, The Long Goodbye, which starred Elliot Gould, good movie, and Seamus, which starred Burt Reynolds, or Seamus, S-H-A-M-U-S.
It's Seamus.
To say the cat starred in The Long Goodbye.
Well, he had roles. He didn't star.
Well, he wrote three books.
Yes, he did.
In 1972 and 1973, Morris won back-to-back Patsy Awards. Patsy is an acronym for Picture Animal Top Star of the Year. And the award is given to animals for their film or television roles. We cut to that award show. Jesus Christ.
And the nominees are Bruce the Shark from Jaws.
Flipper.
And a cat from the Mideast. The award goes to the cat.
Lassie seems upset. What is it, boy? What's wrong? I lost. When he won the first time, the other three winners were the rat from the horror film Ben.
Oh, my God.
A dog from a TV crime show. And Cocaine the Horse.
Oh, he was robbed.
Who seems to have won some kind of Lifetime Achievement Award. What the fuck is Cocaine the Horse?
I don't know, but that Lifetime Achievement was like 2 weeks.
Wow. Have fun in Hinsdale. While in town, keep on the lookout for all the countless ways to get closer to your new neighbors. Maybe buy them some outrageously expensive roses. Or sit too near them in an enormous movie theater. If all else fails, try to impress them by claiming that Morris used to be your cat before he became a star.
Thanks, Jess.
How much money is there in owning a famous cat?
Depends on how many books he writes and movies he stars in.
Well, look, we have a TikTok star down the road, right? Who's making his money.
Yeah, original cat dad.
Original cat dad.
I think there's probably a lot of money to be made.
Okay.
Especially
now.
Now.
Yeah, yes. I think I would imagine more now.
So he sponsors, I saw that he was sponsored by like some cat treats and like cat backpacks and stuff, but then I saw something saying he was getting sponsored by some sort of bourbon. So I don't know the tie to cats and bourbon, but there's money in cats.
There's money in cats.
Sell everything, Bob. It's all cats from here on out.
The inventory is high. The demand is low.
Dump all the other stocks. We're investing in cats.
And we got nothing in our raw materials. We're going straight to the shelter, getting everything they got. See?
I've sold everything. I bought a bunch of bonds in the country. We're going to fill them with cats. Holy smokes, Batman. Hemsdale man drives his 1960s Batmobile replica to Paige's restaurant.
That's the headline.
You know, usually headlines don't go on long enough to take a turn. So that was a pleasant surprise.
I already have a feel for the doings.
Oh, the doings.
Yes.
I would drive the Batmobile right now if I could.
I would drive it everywhere.
Which one?
Not just to Paige's restaurant.
Which Batmobile?
The Adam West Batmobile.
Hell yeah.
I want to drive
the one from Tim Burton.
Oh, you want
Tim
the Michael Burton. Keaton? I want that. Michael Keaton.
Remember, wasn't there some contest where
that one would handle much easier, the Adam West one.
Wasn't there a contest where they gave that one away, Keith, like back around the time?
If they did, I didn't get it.
But the I'd say the Adam West one was the only one that was a real car, though, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Because it was a prototype of a vehicle that was never put into production, if I recall correctly.
And they just added fins to it. But that was going to be a future concept car.
Yeah.
But did it look like a real car? Did it look like a gray cylindrical thing? Was it?
Who are we to say what a car looks like?
But it was like a regular old car with fins.
If you showed the guys in the 1920s what cars look like now, they wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. I mean, it still looked like a car.
Okay.
The Michael Keaton one doesn't really look like a car. It's got
four wheels. It's got a chair inside. It's got a wheel.
Probably steering wheel.
You're too picky on what a car needs. I'm easy going.
Yeah, that thing's badass.
It's just like a car.
I mean, hey, look, it's open air. I mean, this time of year, that has to be nice.
There's also no confusion with what that is.
Once again, y'all got too highfalutin standards for what a car has and has to not have.
Keith needs four
wheels. Y'all
got
to simmer down.
Four wheels on the outside, one wheel on the inside.
Four wheels and a chair.
We're tearing apart Keith's reality. In Keith's mind, he already drives a Batmobile.
Any mobile can be a Batmobile.
Just put a bat sticker on the side.
You just put a Batman in it. It's a Batmobile.
It's true. It's not Air Force One until the president puts it in.
It's just a plane. Yeah.
I'm coming here in this vehicle. This is now a bat vehicle. My car. Woo, she's gone.
So Batman and Herbie need to do a movie together. Yeah.
They would be unstoppable. A sentient car and a Batman?
But it's still bug. It's still a VW bug.
It's a bug that can drive on the ledge of a building, okay? Crime will never be happening again.
Put the black mask on Herbie the Love Bug.
Who needs a Batman? Make Herbie the Batman. Bat Bug. Okay. Haven't even said the names of the authors of this article yet, which, by the way, yes, it took two people to write this. Brett Johnson and Kimberly Forsick.
We're in sidekick territory, of course.
There you go.
Hey. Go ahead.
Pow! Zam! Deadline! Paige's restaurant normally is crowded Sunday mornings, but this week the crowd was outside the restaurant as Hinsdale resident and regular customer Marv... What?
Just waiting for the last name.
Oh, it's got a bunch of vowels.
You had to zoom your phone.
They're way more vowels than there are consonants. Tazlair?
Sure.
Lar?
It's your word, man.
Yeah, man.
Do it how you want.
Ah, man. Okay.
Did you say Batlair or Tazlair?
Tazlair. Good old Marv drove up in his replica of a Batmobile from the 1960s television series. Teslar, who bought the car at auction this summer, drove it from the Napierville garage where he keeps it to the Pages. "I keep it up nicely with traffic," Teslar said, but did not try any stunts on Interstates 88 and 294 that Batman might have done. He said the brakes are somewhat difficult from the 1966 Lincoln.
The 1966 car, didn't he just drive it from one place to the next?
I might have hit a child. On which the black and red armored vehicle is based. The car also has no rear view or side view mirrors. Be on alert, everybody. Teslar is out and about. Batman, Teslar said, drove fast and had a siren, so don't worry about people passing him. Sorry, that was the end of that sentence. I felt like he wasn't done. Teslar found side view mirrors in a box in the car's truck and used GoPro suction cup mounts to attach them for his drive to Hinsdale. That's got to be regulation. He noticed other cars on the highway speeding by until the drivers noticed the Batmobile with bat wing tail fins and a red Batman logo on the side doors and hubcaps. Then they would slow down and let me pass and then get even with mine, often with a camera in their hand, Teslar said. Many of the visitors were adults who grew up watching the TV series and brought their children. Most of them had never seen the TV show. An exception was Cesar Kagers. Whatever happened to Smith? Whatever happened to the last name Smith? Johnson.
Just when you can't read one, just name them that. Then we'll just know Smith or Johnson.
Smith or Johnson. Like, okay. All right. That's the rule now. That's the rule.
Names
now
have been changed to protect the innocent. Right? We'll just do that from now on. Yeah.
To protect my ego. Anyway, Cesar Smith, the most natural sounding name that's ever existed, who shared that his son had a miniature Batmobile his uncle gave him when he was two. I said, don't take it out of the box, Orion Smith.
Another Smith.
I think.
Surprised this, you didn't name him Johnson Smith.
Or just Smith Smith.
I think this is Caesar's son, did take it from the box and played with the toy, which had movable wheels. Always useful. Doors that opened and an antenna that went up. Boy, have I got the car for you. It's got everything. Wheels that move.
Does it have a chair?
It's got, that's the one thing it doesn't have.
So it's not a Batmobile.
That's the one thing.
Chair and wheels. Because of the Batmobile car lot.
Teslar explained that there were several versions of the Batmobile made for the series, with two or three used for distant shots of the car driving. But those didn't have all of the details inside, such as a bat phone.
How much stuff did Batman have to throw away when he got a cell phone, by the way?
I like to imagine that's where the idea for a cell phone came from.
Right.
It's like, I wish I could be like Batman. Yeah, make a phone call whenever I'm out and about.
Everything that was in the Batcave just got consolidated down.
Into an iPhone.
Into an iPhone.
Yeah, Batman, he doesn't need all that much stuff in his Batcave anymore.
The thing that took up the most space, I think, was his little label maker. Because every single thing that he had a label on it.
It always started with Bat, right?
Yeah.
Like a Batarang?
Yeah, the Bat Telemeter Synco Capacitor. Yeah.
Who made that? He's not, I mean, look, he didn't make the Bat Cave. He had to bring in construction workers.
I think the beauty was that it was a cave.
But he found it when he fell.
Caves
well.
Don't just come like that.
With computers
he
and
didn't
whatnot.
Find the cave with all the electronic devices and go, I'll build my mansion above this and I'll be a secret bat superhero. He was just spelunking one day.
Back in that day, it was just like a bat garage, right? I mean, there wasn't, it didn't have all the stuff that the newfangled Batman
or like
has.
A bat hole. Come to my bat hole. Excuse me.
Who's he talking to?
Yeah,
he's talking probably he's talking his girlfriend.
He's talking to the foreman of the construction crew.
So I'd like to turn this hole into a cave.
He did start up the car at one point. With it stalling out the first time before he revved the engine on the second try. But he did not jump in quickly, as Adam West appeared to do on the TV show. If you get in too quickly, you end up knocking your shin on the steering wheel, Teslar said, end of article.
This guy had the childhood dream that I imagine you have had as well, like how cool it would be to own the Batmobile, right?
Or the General Lee, right?
Right, but not anymore because it's been canceled now.
No, you can't but when you were a kid.
Yeah, when you're a kid.
X-Wing fighter?
Yes.
TIE fighter?
But then the practicality of it is that it's falling apart. It's a total piece of shit.
Right? It's a replica.
The DeLorean from...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I want to get a DeLorean, and then it stalls out or... Cars are passing you on the highway. Yeah.
Or it doesn't go back in time.
Or you somehow discover you can hit your knee on the steering wheel in a car.
Yeah.
I'm presuming it's
spoken
a normal
like
thing
a man who tried it.
Yeah. I'm presuming George is very familiar with that, with the leg length.
Yeah, small man's world.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably hard to get into with a cape on, too, right?
Isn't every car hard to get into with a cape on?
It's valid.
Yeah.
Not if you have a door.
But maybe that's the real tragedy, is this man, I guess he probably saved up a lot of money to buy this thing at auction, and then he gets it, and it's not what he hoped it would be. It didn't turn him into Batman. He can't even jump in it without hitting his shins. And it doesn't start on the first try.
It has no brakes. He's finding parts in the trunk, which, by the way, did you ever think about the Batmobile having a trunk? No, it's all jet engine back there. What's going on?
Ready for adventure? North Pole trip, not the tip of the iceberg for 85-year-old Clarendon Hills woman by Chuck Fieldman. Shirley Tolbert has maintained a very simple philosophy over her 85 years. I always look forward to the next day. I always have, said the Clarendon Hills resident, who lived in two different Oak Brook homes over 40 years and grew up in Hinsdale. Many of Tolbert's next days have been rather routine, but several have not. She returned a few weeks ago from a trip to the North Pole, which made for bookends along with the trip she took a year ago to Antarctica, which completed travel to each of the seven continents. After going to Antarctica, it just made sense for me to see what it was like at the North Pole, too, Tolbert said. It's much more involved getting to the North Pole, but I also had tears in my eyes when I actually stood at the North Pole. It's like you're standing at the top of the world, so to speak. Tolbert made the trip with her son, Jeff, 52. She said it took about 2 weeks to get there, and she and about 120 others from around the world spent 5 days living at the North Pole on the ice cutter ship that took them there. It was very cold, but we were dressed for it, so it wasn't bad, Tolbert said. They had talks every day by experts on the way there, which were very interesting because we were able to learn so much about the North Pole from them. Tolbert said she has always found traveling to other countries interesting, starting with her first trip to Spain in the early 1970s with her husband, George, who died about 6 years ago.
How different do you think the North Pole is from the South Pole in terms of experience?
One's a landmass, one's not.
Huh?
It's all snow, right?
You're looking at me like that.
I don't – wait, so – wait, one's a landmass and one's just like ice?
Are you saying like if somebody – if you woke up tomorrow and someone had taken you to either the South Pole or the North Pole, would you know the difference?
I don't think I would.
I don't think I would either. I don't know if I know the difference between that and like Wisconsin.
Okay.
Okay. In the wintertime.
Wait, I do want to take a moment to separate myself from that comment. I feel like...
You're not with me on that.
No, I'm not with you on the Wisconsin part. I feel like if I woke up in a snowy plain, I would not be confused as to whether or not it was North Pole, South Pole, or Wisconsin.
Well, have you been to Wisconsin in the wintertime?
Okay, you got me there.
I haven't either. I don't know what it looks like.
I guess it's very possible, based on my personal experience, that Wisconsin would look like an icy plain of nothing.
Right. I would think so.
Yeah, all the buildings just go right underneath ice. The people burrow down like fish in a pond.
It is the wintertime.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, if you put a potato sack over my head and then took me to either. It's the only way.
It's the only way.
I'm being kidnapped.
I'm being kidnapped. When's the last time you've seen a potato sack?
Probably at grandma's house.
When was the last time you had one put under your head?
That's grandma's house. But I'm just saying, okay, I get kidnapped, whatever, and then the potato sack comes off, and all of a sudden I'm surrounded by snowy plains and ice. I wouldn't know if it was North or South Pole.
I wouldn't either. And that begs the question, if it's probably expensive to go to Antarctica or the North Pole, why are you doing it? You go there and you stay 5 days. Why are you doing it?
And there's a lot of danger.
Right? But it's also just a cold place like Wisconsin. So why are you going to the South Pole or the North Pole? Why do people do it?
Well,
it's not to just go be in the cold. I think
she was about to explain.
No. Let's talk forward.
Yeah, we're not just talking about why she did it. Just Keith. When they got the potato sack.
Okay, no, but my...
But what's the reason for the trip? Is it so you can go stay in a cold place?
No, it's or so you number can one is because it's different? There.
Yeah.
Right? You want to see get it.
Yeah.
Number two, you want to watch your compass spin, right?
She did. Well, maybe.
She's at the magnetic.
I'm not even making a joke. That's
you mean like olden times?
Point.
In olden times, when people had compasses.
People
still make them. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, but nobody
the planet them. Still has magnetic poles.
Yeah.
I have a compass. I have several.
So that answers your question. If you're wake up with a potato sack and it's cold, pull out your compass carry in your front pocket.
I'm more interested in something else right now. I'm way more interested in something else right now. Neil.
Yes.
Where's your closest compass right now? If you need a compass right now, where's
you need
the
a compass to
one?
Find it
because you got several.
I used to keep one in my truck.
Okay.
Now my closest one would be at home at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the hard part is that he needs his compass to find his house.
Yeah, exactly.
So if someone kidnaps you with a potato sack on your head, ask him if you could please rummage around in the drawer and get your compass.
Yes, please.
Where you go?
Okay.
But the reason to
if you're getting kidnapped, are they going to let you keep a compass anyway? I'd take it if I was trying to confuse you.
No. But if they're kidnapping you, they're not. Checking you for compasses because nobody's got a compass.
Jay, just
taking
be clear.
Your phone and they're taking
just
your
because phone. They is my grandma, right?
So your phone has a compass in it. Most phones have a compass app.
No.
Your car is going to tell you which direction you're driving.
It wouldn't spin.
I bet there's a compass on my phone.
You have a compass on your phone or you've deleted it.
I probably deleted it.
But it's standard.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's it's like, why do you travel? Do you travel for the story of I went to the South Pole? It's probably not to experience being in the South Pole because there's not much there. It's just cold, like just Wisconsin.
I mean, that in of itself is an experience. I get that. Craig got a compass on his phone.
Yeah,
that's there crazy. You go.
And there's the North Pole.
Oh, I'm facing the North Pole. That's good to know.
Yeah.
All right.
So when you get the potato sack off your head,
that means the open North Star is probably somewhere in front of me too.
Well, it's like when I went to Russia. I went to Russia with this group, and they. It was a service trip with the church, and they always did the same kind of trip. When you got there, you would eat a certain place, then you would get on a bus, and you would go to the orphanage and all this. They always went to Sabaro in Moscow.
The mall pizza place?
Yes. And that was
How was it?
It was Sabaro. And you're in Moscow. Do you want to eat Sabaro?
No, I want to go to the McDonald's.
We went to McDonald's, too. We went to McDonald's and went to Sabaro, and it's like, why did we do this? Do we do this so we could eat Sabaro at the mall in Moscow?
No.
But see, you're there supporting the fact that it's for the experience.
Yes.
And despite the fact that going to the North Pole would not be a fun experience for you, there are a lot of people who'd find that incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it's for the story there, right?
It's still interesting.
Unless you're a scientist.
I mean, just the getting there
has
to be interesting because it's not – you're traversing ice.
Yeah.
You got to get on a ship because it's not land, right? It's a polar ice cap.
But you've got a potato sack on your head the whole time. You're not really.
Let's to stay warm, really. You can cut eye holes.
Yeah, it was cold outside, but we had the right clothing.
Yeah, we had the right
potato sacks.
Yeah. If you want to cut down to it, there's no reason to go anywhere because you can meet people. But what is this? They still eat food. They still sleep in beds. They have a house of some sort. It's all the same. So all of it's for the experience of it.
I know this may sidetrack us a little bit, but I have to say it.
Nah. No way.
No, it might bring us on track. Yeah.
I'm distracted by my compass app now that it's out because this street runs north-south almost exactly.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And so Broad Street runs east-west almost exactly. So because we are in a historic town, I am guessing that is not an accident.
No,
right?
Typically not.
Yeah. That they were like, how are we going to grid things out? Well, let's just find the poles, break out the freaking compass, and solve all the problems.
But is your compass telling you that the street outside runs north to south?
If I point my phone this way, it's telling me north is that way.
Right.
And south is that way.
But if you tilt it so it's like parallel with that street, it's not running north to south, right?
That's what I don't understand what you're saying.
I have north there.
You're going to get lost.
I'm going to. I'm just going to stick with Craig.
Yeah, let's travel together.
I'll say compasses are not—they're simple, but they're not easy to use. Which we would teach the scouts how to use a compass to read a map and find your bearing and all that sort of stuff.
Is it so really not crazy though that those magnetic poles are existing all the time without us thinking about it or not? It's there, and the Earth is making it. It allows us to be able to find direction anywhere in the world.
It is a crazy idea to think about.
That whole concept governs a lot of what we're able to do.
Yeah. So maybe that's why you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You go to talk about that.
Yeah.
We talked about that here.
I guess when I brought up the question, my initial thought was, it's like, okay, I'm all about experiences. If I went to the South Pole and I experienced the cold, icy tundra of that, me personally, I wouldn't be like, okay, let me go do that up north now.
And see if it's
the same. It's like I've done that thing.
So one was to complete the journey to seven continents for her, which is Antarctica. Cool.
Right.
The other is to visit a polar ice cap, which is a different thing.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be completely honest. I did not realize that those were two separate, that they weren't just both ice caps.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
How do y'all not know this?
Because Santa Claus lives at the North Pole. He doesn't.
Because I was too busy learning cursive.
He has a house. He has a workshop. He will not build that on ice.
The ice stays. It does not go away.
Do you know which of the poles has penguins?
North. South.
So we have differing answers.
They're probably different penguins.
I'm sure they said at some point during that March of the Penguins movie. I don't remember. Trick question. They're on the equator.
Equatorial penguins.
Penguins aren't real.
You ever seen one?
Of course not.
I have, actually.
They're birds.
In zoos.
They're birds. So they're robots.
All right, we cut to a suburban home in Illinois. It is a couple's anniversary. All right, honey, it's our anniversary. I know I typically don't do a lot of things, and I know I don't usually put a lot of thought into doing romantic things, but I'm trying to be better.
This is the year?
This is the year, okay? I want to give you the experiences that you've always hoped for.
You've been listening to me.
I've been listening to
you. You know how important it is to me to feel valued and to be appreciated. I don't ask for much, just one day a year to know that you care.
Absolutely, and I'm going to give you all the experiences that you've ever wanted. I know you've always talked about how you wanted to go ice skating.
Well, of course. It's so romantic to go and just hold hands and skate across the ice.
That's right. That's right. I know you've always wanted to do a romantic dinner on top of the Eiffel Tower. Oh, excuse me. Oh, let me get that. It might be this. Oh, yes, hello.
Hi, am I on time?
You are exactly on time.
Perfect.
Did you bring the cooler?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, great. Yep. Okay, so
so we're going to France? I can't believe it.
Oh, no. But
you know, I've always wanted to go out.
We can't afford to go to France, especially at this last minute notice.
Last minute, we're doing it today. Was coming for a year.
I know, but I didn't start. Look, I put thought into this. I promise you. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Look, this is Barry here.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi, Barry. Driving us to the airport, I guess.
No, not at all.
No. Ooh. No. Airplane tickets are expensive. No, Barry's just going to help set up all the different experiences, and we're just going to do them right here in the house.
Where do I set up? Do you have a layout?
I was thinking, okay, so the sun is still out, so all of the ice for the ice skating, we might just want to do that in the garage.
perfect.
Yeah.
I can do that. Just I'll have clear the guys set out there. Hank!
Yeah.
Set the ice up in the garage.
I got the kiddie pool. You want to go ahead and just dump the ice in it?
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
That's perfect. Okay, okay. You still got your roller skates?
Ice in the kiddie pool?
Yeah. Going to ice skate. I mean, well, I mean, if we just put it on the garage floor, they'll just scatter all over, and then you're not really skating on ice, are you? I thought this through.
Excuse
me. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, there was the thing about the animal preserve. I think if I put that where the litter box is, the smell will help.
Oh, yeah?
Sort of, yeah.
Create an ambiance. Yeah.
Does that sound good to you?
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Perfect. I mean, it's just more cats, right?
They're much bigger, though.
Much bigger?
Well, it's the African safari.
Excuse
you.
Do you have cats?
Really big ones.
Yeah.
You know I'm allergic to cats.
I know, but you wanted to go on an African safari, and so, you know, we can't just go to Africa.
We do have the rhino instead.
Well, what now?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Are you allergic to rhinoceros?
I know you've thought a lot about this, and I really appreciate it.
You said going with the rhino package, boss?
I think we are. She seems allergic to cats.
Hey, I'll get
it's
ready.
The one thing I spent a bunch of money on.
That's exactly
okay?
what I was about to ask you about. You can't afford plane tickets to France, but we have a rhino now.
Hank works at the zoo. He knows a guy, okay? He made it happen. Now, Hank, as soon as you get the rhino place, could you get the folding table up on top of the roof?
I can't get the folding table if I'm already wearing the rhino suit. Hold on, I'll be right in.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. He works. You know,
I got hoofs.
He's the two-man rhino that goes around the park taking pictures with the kids. Unfortunately, we couldn't get the other guy he works with to help him. So it's just back half of the rhino.
I got the front half today. We want to make
God,
this special
Barry,
for you.
Thank you so much. Okay, so it's more than just a rhino ass. Okay.
So just so I'm caught up, for our anniversary this year, you're dumping a truck of ice into our garage.
A cooler of ice.
Okay, just a cooler's worth. Got
yeah, it. Yeah, I can't afford that much ice that fills up a truck.
All right, and I assume I'm cleaning this up.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, okay. And then two random men, one of which who works at the zoo.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm in marketing at the zoo. I work there also. Okay. Yeah,
so they both work at the zoo, but didn't bring any actual animals other than house cats and a rhino costume.
Look.
These cats are big, though.
Honey, I know what you're going to say, and you don't have to say it, but you're welcome, okay? All right, I just want you to have these experiences. I know you want to see exotic animals, so we got that covered. You want to go ice skating in a romantic setting? We got that. They'll put on a red light bulb in the garage. Yeah, It'll be really romantic.
The mimes.
The what?
You got the mimes or the French thing?
Okay. Well, I was hoping you could put on the black spandex.
I got hoofs.
That's fine. A rhino is kind of black, gray, dark gray. So that'll work.
We got
for
a couple
mime.
Of kids from the high school theater department. They're going to be doing the mime
okay,
stuff.
Okay, just tell them.
Don't worry, they're quiet.
Yes,
they're methods.
Now I know you haven't been listening to me. If I've told you all the things I care about, the one thing I cannot stand is high school productions.
Ugh.
You know this.
We got to look. You got to make concessions.
They
okay?
do. They're part of the community theater. Also, it's okay. It's not just high schoolers. These are seasoned pros.
There you go. Okay. All right. Now look. One of you needs to get off those rhino hooves and get up on the roof and put that folding table up there for our romantic dinner. Okay. Takes a lot of money to have dinner on top of the Eiffel Tower. So I just figured if we, you know, have dinner really high up, you know, that'll kind of simulate, you know, if we were on the Eiffel Tower. I mean, right?
Okay. All right. Fine.
You're a lucky lady.
I feel very special. I do. I don't see the flowers anywhere.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, I know you love American Beauty roses.
I do. They're my favorite. It's unfortunately, the one thing I asked for very specifically.
All right, hold on. So, let me go get Kevin Spacey.
In walks Kevin Spacey with a Bulgarian fern.
It's the only work I can get.
It's Kaiser Sose!
He was less expensive
than the rhino suit.
I'm actually going to be serving your dinner tonight. I work at the local Italian restaurant.
Yeah. We told him some teenage kids were going to be here, so he just hopped at the chance.
You got him for free.
Allegedly.
My favorite part about that was Keith shaking his head, but knowing he had to say it.
That was
was so upset at myself.
You were asking when the man was going to reach out. I think as soon as we publish this one.
Wait, when who's going to reach out?
The man.
The man? Oh, yeah.
Kevin Spacey's lawyers with a cease and desist?
Yeah, that would be the one.
Who was in that movie?
Allegedly.
No, he was in the movie.
Well, no. I'm just allegedly.
The name of this episode is Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, Kevin Spacey f***ed some kids. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Bunch of small town news. Bunch of small town news. Bunch of small town news.
You've just tolerated another episode of Small Town News, a production of Small Town News, LLC.
Today's episode of Small Town News was inspired by the doings of Hinsdale, Illinois, and stories written by Brett Johnson, Kimberly Forneck, Chuck Fieldman, Greg Voss, and Sarah Clarkson.
Episodes are performed and produced by Keith Boyd, George Oliver, Neil Oliver, and Craig Ramey.
Research by Dr. Jessica Saxon.
Music performed by George Oliver.
This episode was recorded in the historic Clark's Drugstore building in beautiful downtown New Bern, North Carolina.
Small Town News is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon, and your granny's gramophone. Like what you hear? Leave us a review and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram for behind-the-scenes photos, exclusive updates, and opportunities to share your favorite small-town news.
Thanks for joining us.
And remember,
allegedly.
Allegedly.
But he was in that movie.
Yeah, yes. That's okay. Factual. Okay.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. My favorite part about that was Keith shaking his head, but knowing he had to say it.